Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 1 hour in, two to go, 713-780-3776.
Yeah, I got a big, I don't know how I'm going to be able to focus on my day today with Germany playing.
Well,
my people have 1 point.
Then you need.
We need a win.
You need a win.
We need a win, and we need, I think, who is it? We need a win, and who's Portugal playing? Is it Costa Rica?
Yeah.
They need Costa Rica to lose
to
Spain.
Man, how about Mexico yesterday?
Or do they play Spain?
So yeah, Mexico.
No, do they play? Who do they play? I think Germany plays. I think they need Japan to draw or lose.
Whatever the case may be. So watching Mexico and Poland and Argentina at the same time, and Mexico is up 2-0, Poland is down 2-0, yet Mexico is not going. They have to score another goal because of citizenship, because they were behind on yellow cards, because apparently they weren't nice people during this tournament, okay? They had more yellow cards than Poland did, okay?
Wait, but 2-0 they would have won.
They would not have advanced.
They would have qualified.
They would not have advanced. No.
They would not have advanced
at
2-0?
They would not, because they were behind on yellow cards. They had the same number
that
of goals.
That was the tiebreaker?
Goal differential.
Okay.
The next differential. So they were, and I think they knew it.
Well, they had
they
to press
had to outscore.
Yeah.
They had to outscore by three because, Poland was down to, it was, anyway, they're trying their hardest. And then at the end, they give up the goal. Oh, my gosh. And it was just over. And they had so many chances, too. Mexico had so many unbelievable looks and shots.
Yeah.
And El Tri's gone. Are you sad?
No, not one single bit.
You're not sad at all?
No.
The only
There are rivals.
The only
I understand what Glenn Day was saying. I understand what Landon Donovan was saying. This is the U.S. That's Mexico. We don't have to be friends. We're definitely not friends when we match up.
Well, you're not in the community like I am. So
you're not. You're 100% not in that community.
Oh, yeah.
You're
100%. ¿Qué pasó?
I'm sorry. Is your wife Mexican? No. You say you're Cajun.
Right.
I'm way more in the community than you are.
Oh, yeah?
So, although she's doesn't really care about soccer or anything.
Okay. No sabes nada de nada.
Sí.
No.
Yo entiendo esto.
No.
Claro que sí. Claro que sí.
Pero eso es. No más. Anyway,
Dale huevo.
El Tri is gone. My people, my Mexican people, I feel for. I was rooting for them.
I wasn't.
Okay. No.
I need a Poland plus.
We want CONCACAF. Didn't you hear the cheers?
Yeah, CONCACAF is...
CONCACAF.
We are... Whatever. No.
It's like SEC. SEC.
CONCACAF. That's just CONCACAF.
CONCACAF.
No,
I can't spell
why
it
would why would does LSU root for Alabama?
Yes.
No, they
when
don't.
They're in a national
they
championship.
Hate Alabama. Every SEC team hates Alabama.
Yo, if they're playing Ohio State, you're rooting for Alabama, trust me.
I have heard from LSU fans, Peter Burns told me, absolutely not.
No.
Peter
Burns is not married to an LSU girl. Yes, she would root for LSU.
No, he's an LSU boy.
Well,
he said, "No, I don't root." And she's an Alabama girl. He should root for her, and he's like, no, it's. He said, maybe in the past, but now Nick has changed all that. Nobody cheers for Alabama ever.
Well,
we always want them to lose.
You hate them.
You know what my wife never did?
Not
cheer
if
for the Aggies to win.
Yankee interloper team coming in.
I don't cheer for Mexico to win. I don't cheer against them. I'm not hardcore enough in soccer.
You don't love
soccer.
Your wife, apparently.
No, she's a U.S. national and has been for several generations.
Apparently. All right, whatever.
Not Spanish speaking.
Oh.
Not on a regular basis.
Well, speaking of which, I just wanted to let you all know I'm going to be at Nick's place Saturday morning.
Speaking of Mexico and El Tri?
Speaking of soccer.
Oh.
I'm going to be 9 o'clock buying all your Coors Lights at Nick's place.
Todos.
27-13 Rocky Ridge. So let's go. Cerveza. There's no excuse. You're not working Saturday morning. You're going to go to Nick's. No, you're going to watch the game with hundreds of fans. I'm
mira
telling
con
you,
it's going to be personas. Packed,
and it's going to be wonderful, and I'm buying all your Coors Lights.
John, compra todos.
Las cervezas. Todas.
Cervezas.
Todas las cervezas.
Solo Coors Light.
No, solo Coors Light. No más.
No solo otra, cervezas.
No, no, la basura de eso.
Nadie.
It's 8:06. I mentioned Jeff Bagwell. Let's talk about Jeff Bagwell. Let's get Brandon in here, and then
I need to apologize, Jeff Bagwell. I got too fired up, and I actually agreed with what he was saying, and I got mad. I don't know how I got there.
You were a little out of control.
But then
you
said,
were a little disrespectful.
Then you
said,
Jeff can't be. Jeff doesn't want it. Jeff doesn't want it. Jeff doesn't want it. And you go, I think he's going to be GM.
You do think he's going to be GM. Here he is on MLB Network yesterday talking about the Jose Abreu deal.
I think he didn't have any reservations at all. And then for us to go down there and talk about our want of him and who he could be for us in our lineup and in our clubhouse, I think we confirmed everything that he was looking for. You know, he wants a group of people that want to work hard and want to win, you know, because, you know, Mike, when you get to be 35, 36, you know, you're looking for a ring.
Sure.
You know, the money's there. You know, other teams are offering him money too, but the best chance, I mean, that's what I told him when I was down there. I said, I don't have to sell you on who we are. I mean, we just won a World Series. We've been in four in the last 6 years. I said, we're pretty good. And it's a perfect situation for him. So I just think it was a perfect fit. He saw it, we saw it, and it worked out.
Yeah. No, absolutely worked. I'm so excited. Now, okay, I got my Abreu in. Now I'm Nimmo. Now I want Nimmo. No, I want Nimmo in center field. We're worried about left field with Chaz.
I don't care
and
what
Alvarez
you want. What does Jeff want?
Okay. We'll see what Jeff wants.
This team could use more Brandons, that's for sure.
That's right. We need another
Brandon. We need a Brandon.
Okay.
Nimmo.
We got enough.
We got a Chaz. That's good.
Okay.
You Brandon.
We got a Kyle.
A Jake, a Kyle.
Right.
Let's get.
And Alex.
Let's get a Brandon in here.
We need a Brandon now.
Yeah. Roam the outfield.
Because we got a bunch of Jose's now.
Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of Jose's.
Yep. Brian Abreu, kind of, it's a little weird.
It throws you off, but he's still an Abreu.
No, he's still an Abreu.
Do you know who he? Do you realize that that's?
We got a Rafael.
Who was the Abreu that we had?
We got a Martin.
The Abreu for the Astros.
Oh yeah, it was Jose Abreu. It was,
No.
It was Bobby Abreu.
Bobby Abreu.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brian is his son.
It is? No, he's not.
It might be.
It might be.
I don't know for a fact it's not.
But
a Bobby could have had a Brian.
Bobby could have. And guess what? He's a big dude, too.
Bobby Abreu.
That was a mistake at letting that guy go, too, by
Bobby
the way.
Bobby Abreu's son. Watch. Let's see what happens.
It's not Brian Abreu.
I think it's
Brandon, what's your thoughts on our Houston Astros?
Yep.
Hey, guys. Love the show, man. Listen every day on the drive to work.
Thanks, pal.
I think the Abreu thing, Bagwell said it best. I mean, that's the perfect fit, the perfect guy to come in with those numbers. I mean, the track record speaks for itself over the last, you know, 9 seasons, what he's done in a White Sox uniform. Nothing against Yuli, but it's a huge upgrade. This could probably turn out to be one of the biggest signings in Astros history, at least I think so. Now, I want to get you guys' thoughts with the winter meetings coming up. I'm kind of with you, John. I think Nimmo's the perfect fit to play center field in that ballpark. You know, maybe be a guy who leads off with that second or third, and, you know, tremendous on-base percentage, high contact guy, and had a decent career with the Mets. And as they go into the winter meetings, is left field kind of the priority, an outfielder or catcher? And I'll hang up and listen.
Well, they're in talks with Contreras.
Well, they're gonna
so
at the winter meetings. They're
that'll
talking
be interesting.
Him. Yeah,
quite frankly, I would rather. And you're right. I think here's what you can do: is Nimmo leads off. You can put Jose in the two hole. Can you drop
you crazy?
Jeremy?
They are not making any changes.
Can you?
Nimmo would be the second reset in the lineup. In other words,
Nimmo will be at the top of the order.
Nimmo's not going to be at the top of the order. Ahead of, you're going to put.
Well, that's
ahead
what I'm
of,
saying. Can you drop Jeremy back to seven?
No, you can't. No, you can't. You just won a World Series with Jose, with Altuve, Pena, Yordan,
and Bregman.
Bregman and Tucker. You're not changing your 1-5. There's no chance that Dusty Baker changes 1-5.
I'm not sure.
Do you think they have a different manager coming back?
No, they have
then
Dusty.
There's not a new lineup.
Well,
now Dusty will have a lot of different lineups all the time.
Well, Dusty had the most lineups in baseball.
He had the most lineups in baseball. But one thing that's not going to happen is Nimmo would not break into his core five.
I don't know that for a fact. I think Nimmo would lead off.
You've
Jose
seen
would go
Dusty
second,
work.
Pena back to seventh.
You've seen Dusty work. You couldn't even get Vasquez in games. Nimmo ain't breaking into the top five.
Don't bet me on it. Don't bet me on it. I think Nimmo would move to
Dusty
the top of the order.
It?
I think Nimmo would move to the top.
But why? Unless Dusty was forced into it.
No, well, he wouldn't be forced to do it.
Then Dusty ain't doing it. These guys, he didn't want anything with Brandon Nimmo.
No, I know that, but he's a top of the order guy. You know what? It would be great
for the Mets.
No, it would be great for Jose to actually be in the two hole and be driving guys in, as opposed to just, you know, because he's got that ability too. Oh, by the way, he can go to right field with
Nimmo
on first.
You mean not the World Series MVP?
And now that you're no shift, Jose can go to right field with a runner on first.
He's not doing that anymore. Not the World Series MVP. They had a shift and he wouldn't go to right field.
No, they don't shift on Jose.
They had, yeah, they shift on him.
No.
They shift on him. They bring second base over. Not as much, but the shift isn't going to do him any. It'll do him good because they get to play him a little closer to the line. It'll help. The non-shift should help him because he's a pull hitter, a dead pull hitter now. But why in the world would you take the World Series MVP out of the two-hole?
Well, we'll see. Well, because
you know what's important for this team?
You know who
7, 8, 9
is Yuli Gurriel. He was unbelievable.
You know what
in the
makes us special?
He don't even have a job.
Don't compare a rookie.
Okay,
a rookie to a guy who's 37 on the birth certificate.
And by the way, this is true too. If the Astros get Nimmo, then we can start cheering. Let's go, Brandon. Let's go, Brandon.
What's made the Astros? Are you trying to politicize the show?
No, I'm saying that's what we. Brandon Nimmo.
The Astros have been so great because they've been able to reset the lineup 7, 8, 9 to an extent. You've always had spotty right field hitting, or you did before Kyle Tucker. So you had hit or miss right field hitting. Obviously, the catcher is the catcher. But if you had Nimmo, you now have a chance to go, God forbid you got him and Contreras. My gosh, I don't care. You could pick a whatever, just pick names out of a lineup and just throw it.
Just throw them.
Just throw, here's what it is. You know what? Altuve, you're hitting 8 today, bro.
No, Trash ain't going to want to come here because there's no spot open before the 7 hole in this lineup. There is not a spot open before the 7 hole.
Who would – Kyle Tucker's 5. Who's 6?
Abreu.
Oh, Abreu, yeah.
And then Contreras at 7.
Yeah.
How's that?
How would you like to have Nimmo hitting? How would you like to have Nimmo hitting? I guess it would have to be 8th. How would you like to have that?
Well, if they get Contreras and
he's setting the, he's setting the table. I would almost consider batting.
9.
I would consider batting him 9th.
9th.
Yeah, and I would go
and then set the table
because
for
that's
Jose.
The because then you have a second leadoff man.
Oh, I mean, you're going to pay him all that money and bet him 9th.
Okay. Who cares?
Get beat it. He's the leadoff guy.
What's it?
813.
All what money? How much money is he going to make?
97.5. He's going to make some money. Nimmo's going to be a pay.
Yeah, but he's not going to be $25 million.
No. But he's going to be good. He's going to be.
He can hit 9th. He ain't won anything. Jose Altuve's won a billion ALCS championships.
Don't worry. Nimmo's going to lead off. Watch yourself. Now, I'll tell you this right now. I had Henry from Aqueduct Plumbing at the house yesterday.
Yeah.
I had so many problems with water pressure, the water. I got tankless water heaters, right? And we had restrictors on all of our sinks, and I didn't know it. We moved into the house, right?
But that's how they those are the worst.
The worst.
They slow your water
down.
The
water was just dripping out. It was like, oh my goodness. And he just set the whole place up. Unbelievable. It's like a new house. It seems like it's a, he knew right away. He goes, oh, I know what's going on here. And we weren't having hot water in any when the tanks are restricted and they don't realize and they're not kicking off the water tanks. He fixed it all, and we've got water that's just perfect now, and it's all because of Aqueduct Plumbing. You may get Henry. I don't know if you don't get Henry. Henry was perfect for us, and I don't care who you get. You're going to get somebody who's going to come to your home and do an unbelievable job because that's what they do every time. You need plumbing help. Here's the number. Put it in your phone, 281-488-6238, 281-488-6238, or aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. Are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back. 818 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. If you want to get in, you're more than welcome. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. I was at Damaris yesterday, as a matter of fact, and this segment is brought to you by Damaris Barbecue's B-Man Frito Pie, beans, brisket, cheese. Of course, Frito's just like in middle school, only way, way better. It's really, really good. If you've never gotten the B-Man over there, hit Damaris today. Perry was there at the bar, bartender. After his shift, he was eating half a potato, loaded. It was just, I was like, man, that is making me hungry, and I just ate. You're making me hungry. So get on over to Damaris, 18th Street, or on Shepherd, just north of West Alabama. Dion. So Dion has got an offer from Colorado, right? Here's a little exchange he had with a media member talking about, well, you'll get the gist of it.
You know my favorite team is the Kansas City Chiefs, right?
Yeah.
Next week they play the Denver Broncos in Colorado. I'm going with you, or we going to ride together?
That's good. That's good. That's good. That's a good one. Now, that's a good one. That's a good one there. I got to admit, now, that's a good one. That's a good one there.
That was a good one. Come on, sit back down here. Come on.
I just
I've never been there.
And
I'm going there. Well, I'm going next week when the Chiefs play Bronco in Colorado. Denver, Colorado.
What you trying to say?
I just want to know. Can we ride together?
Why am I going?
That's a good way to ask a coach a question. Now that is the best way to try to get him to admit he's now. Deion ain't going to Colorado.
I talked to Bruce Feldman last night. I was asking him Bruce is one of the best college football guys in the country.
Awesome.
He's amazing. And I was asking him about this Tennessee edge rusher I'm looking at, see if he made why he didn't make the freak list, and if the strength coaches ask him anything about him. And so we started talking about Deion a little bit, and I said, you think he's going to go? He said, you know, I don't think there's as many offers as Deion expected, despite what he says. Colorado's definitely open. And I said, is that the right spot for him? Because I'm not sure you can win. Mm-mm. Like, A, for a coach, you want to have the right spot. You want to have the right place, the right alumni, the right surroundings, the right facilities. You want to feel comfortable there. You want to feel like you can win there. I don't know if I'm Deion Sanders that I don't just keep winning to Jackson State and wait for something better than Colorado to come up.
It's a shame. Listen. Florida State has turned it around now. Mike Norvell, after a rocky start.
Yes.
He had a really rocky start with his players, Lion or something. Remember, there was something
controversy.
I
can't remember
the case may be. He wasn't truthful with the media about what was going on with the program or whatever, and he got called out for it. Well, guess what? Mike Norvell's a good coach. Mike Norvell's they're 9-3 this year. They beat LSU in that opener, and they have played pretty damn well this season. So Florida State would have been the perfect place for Deion to go, his alma mater. well, I don't know if he graduated. His school where he played, and a place where he can go and win. That's a huge program. And Deion turned out to be a pretty damn good coach. Now, he's a pretty damn good coach. He's got a lot of better players than a lot of other SWAC schools, right? I mean, the way he's recruited versus people want to go and play for Deion, he got one of the top recruits in the country to go there.
Yeah.
So Deion is proven that he's not just all glitz and glamour. It'll be interesting, though, how much he has played up the SWAC. and how much he has, you know, and he wants the SWAC to get a bowl game. You know, he wants the SWAC to.
There's nothing bad about Deion being in the SWAC.
No.
It's all positive.
But how much he has talked it up and then to just abandon it would be an interesting. It'll be interesting how that's received.
It's going to happen, but it won't be received great. It's going to be perceived and received as, in some circles, as him being a sellout. And look at you, you're no different than everyone else. When the money comes, you'll go do, you know, people are going to say some terrible things and probably some racial tropes about him, you know, trying to, it's going to be unfortunate. But the reality is Luke Fickell just left Cincinnati for Wisconsin. This is what happens. Mm-hmm. Cincinnati was in the Final Four last year. When was the last time Wisconsin was there?
Yeah.
They haven't been. So it happens. This is the reality of college football. And unless Jackson State is Michigan or Ohio State or you know, Texas or whoever doesn't, you know, lose their coaches to other programs, just like everybody else.
It's what happens.
It's going to happen.
You want a chance to win at the highest level. Deion is the guy who's always been at the highest level of everything. I mean, baseball, football, college, everything.
He's got a supreme confidence.
Even his broadcast career.
He's got a supreme confidence that... Yeah. It's just he is a different guy. When he's in a room, I've been in a room with Deion, and it's totally different. The amount of – he is the alpha of the room.
Yep.
And guys like that, it doesn't make him a winner as a coach, but it gives him a chance to be different. It really does. And when I say different, I mean a chance to succeed at a different level. I think Deion Sanders can be a successful – I think he can be a successful coach.
Yep.
Because you know what? He has enough where he understands the individualism of a player because he was that – and that's what players are into. But he is, if you've ever watched anything where he's talked, he is about the team and he is about work ethic.
He's a disciplinarian, too.
Yeah, I mean, this guy wasn't looking for load management. He played two sports on the same day.
Yeah.
He was a legitimate baseball player and legitimate football player, and he played on the same day. Now, was it for attention? I think he loved the attention, but I also think he loved playing two sports.
Yeah.
So Deion is a guy who loves to play the game. He loved ball.
Oh, absolutely. 8:24. Let's get Mark in here. He wants to talk about the NFL. Hey, Mark.
He rapped a little bit of rap. He did a little rap too.
Yeah. What's up, Mark?
Hey, good morning, guys. Love the show. Hey, got a quick question for you guys. As the season has went on within the NFL, we've started to see a lot of teams that we didn't really know were going to have severe quarterback issues. Have quarterback issues. You know, the Colts, and you know, we knew the Panthers were going to be bad, but they're even worse than what we expected. And with the Texans being so bad in multiple different holes, my question is, do you think that there's a chance next year with that number one pick that they potentially trade out and get a Miami, San Francisco type haul to one of those teams that are kind of win now, like the Colts, for instance? I know they're in the division, but we'll use them as an example. They trade up, give you multiple picks, you trade back, and then, you know, you kind of build the full roster from there and skip on the quarterback number one overall pick this year. I'm just curious if you think there's any chance of that, or is there no shot? It's Bryce Young. Don't even think about that.
I think there's a chance, only because Bryce Young is not the physical. He falls well outside the physical standards for the position. If you look at who the Patriots drafted when Nick Caserio was there, I mean, I think Tom was right when I think he came in same time, but they drafted Ryan Mallett. They have drafted Jimmy Garoppolo. They have drafted Jacoby Brissett. Kyle LaLetta was kind of a pop gun arm guy out of Richmond. Jarrett Stidham, who has more physical, you know, he's got adequate size. They've drafted pocket guys. I don't know who have the Texans drafted? A pocket guy in Davis Mills. I don't know that it's a fact that the Texans. You want to really be scared? I'll really scare you. What if the Houston Texans passed on the first pick of the draft for Bryce Young, drafted a different position or even tried to trade out of it, which I don't think it would be terrible to trade out based on who you have next year and based on how many draft picks you'd have to maneuver around next year. But what if they traded out and they went and targeted Will Levis?
I was just thinking. If they feel like you can get Levis at 10 or 11, yeah, wherever the Browns are going to be, you get yourself who's that player at the top, though?
Let's see. I don't know who the player is at the top. I mean, might be, maybe, people are going to default to Will Anderson because he was the guy.
But
in the early in the season. I mean, he was the guy from before the season started that everyone targeted. Maybe he would be the guy. Maybe you say we got to go get Rush. I mean, you do need to get Rush.
You do have to. You do.
There's a left tackle from Penn State that a lot of people are high on. I haven't seen him yet, but so there's a tackle that could end up in up there high. There's a Will Anderson, obviously, is a pass rusher who could end up there high. You know, one of the most talented players in the draft, you're not going to draft him, but is Bijan Robinson. Bijan's legitimately one of the top.
You can get Bijan, though, later.
Yeah. No, you wouldn't You wouldn't draft him there, and I don't think you would draft him anyway. I think you've got a good runner in Damian Pierce. If you want to add another back with him, you can. To me, running back is not even close to being a priority. Priority has got to be you need to get a good interior player. You need to get a rusher.
It wouldn't be Jalen Carter.
I mean, I don't know. Jalen Carter is supposedly way up there, too, from Georgia. Jalen Carter could be a guy. If they were to move 1-3, 1-4, something like that, Jalen Carter 100% could be in the mix.
Yeah. If you did that and traded down a couple, three spots, and somebody really wanted Bryce Young and traded down and got
it's not gonna hurt it wouldn't hurt my feelings.
And then you got Will Levis later?
I don't know if I want Will Levis, because you draft him, you have to play him for 3 years. You pretty much have to if you draft him in the first round.
It'd be like a picket deal if you got him a little
bit
later.
Why not just kick it down the road and go and look for Caleb next year?
Yeah.
Well, why go? If you're going to have three first-round picks.
If
you had three first-round picks.
Davis Mills again next year. No, John, you can
go get somebody in free agency, but why wouldn't you get Hendon Hooker then in the second or third round?
That's okay.
I mean, what about that?
Yeah. That would be more not because you got such upside.
Because if you don't love the quarterback position and you were able to trade out of the first, you're going to have three first rounders.
If you're
year.
Targeting him, you can't wait till the third. You're going to have to get him in the second.
And then Hooker.
Yep.
Maybe so.
And somebody who needs a quarterback might take him late in the first, and just wait for him. Wait for that knee.
I mean, he tore the knee up in November. He could heal early enough to play next year, possibly.
The
problem is he's a 26-year-old rookie.
Yeah, right.
Let's say he's not ready to play and he ends up being a 27-year-old rookie. Man, it's how long do you get with Hendon Hooker?
Yep.
Is your question.
829 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 7-3-7-8-0-3-7-7-6. How far do you get without water? Not very.
Not very far, and that's why you've got to have your friends over at Liquid Death. I'm a big sparkling water guy. I love sparkling water. The thing with Liquid Death is they have sparkling water for you. They have the mountain spring water. They have water that is flavored with a little bit of agave. Like, we're talking 15 to 20 calories. It comes in a tall boy can that looks punk rock. I mean, it's got the skull with the melting skull on the front. It says Liquid Death. The name alone, Liquid Death, it raises people's eyebrows. It has them. It's a great conversation starter. I remember the first time I saw it, it created a conversation with me and the person who was drinking it, because I'm like, what in the world is in Liquid Death? I just thought, what is going on here? You see people at concert venues around Houston drinking Liquid Death. That means they either don't drink or they're the designated driver. It comes, as I said, in that tall boy aluminum can, stays ice cold, and is a great conversation starter. That's why you can pack it in your kids' lunch kits. And I promise you, you are going to get a note back from the teacher like, wow, you almost had me on this one. Or, well, I had to do a double take when I saw little Timmy's lunchbox. Liquid Death. Brutally murder your thirst. You can find Liquid Death at Kroger's, at 7-Eleven, and at Target. Or in a lot of different locations, if you just go online to the website at liquiddeath.com/bench. There is a tool to find where Liquid Death is sold, and there's some great merchandise as well. I promise you, this is one of the fastest growing companies in the city of Houston and in the country. It's Liquid Death.
ESPN 97.5.
Girl, I must warn you. I sense something strange in my mind. Yeah. Yo.
The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 835 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. The number to call to get in here with us. Gary is here. He wants to talk about the Astros. Let's get him in here. Hey, Gary.
Hey, guys. Welcome back. Hey, I know you guys you were talking about the names on the Astros or whatever, and that was pretty funny or whatever. They don't have any Thomases or Jacksons or whatever on the team and things like that. I have a good friend of mine. I was an assistant coach in the Clear Lake area, but the head coach retired. And so he's a white guy. His daughter's actually middle name is my middle name. But anyway, so he had the privilege of being able to sit in the locker room and meetings there and also hang out with the fellas at the barbershop. So what he was saying is that his actual coach was saying, hey, guys, they have basketball and football. They will not grab baseball. And I remember Lance was saying something during the World Series. He was talking about us, but not you, Lance. You had an African-American friend. He was saying that, hey, I don't care how many that are out there or not or whatever, African-Americans out there. And it wasn't you. It's not your fault. Shame on that guy, because when you say you don't care, when you say you don't care about something like that, you're just saying that all these little leaguers that are playing that are African-American or whatever who think they have a shot. Well, we have coaches in high school and beyond, in college or whatever, and it's been proven, saying that they're not going to take over baseball. I'm not trying to take over, but they work so hard, and yet to have that comment said, and like I said, best friend of mine, his daughter's my middle name, and yeah. He was in there just telling me about that, and I was just shocked by it. So your friend that said that he really didn't care who was out there or not, shame on him, because he's saying that all you little leaguers who dream about it, it's not going to happen. Yeah, he should care. Well, that's all I wanted to say.
It's not going to mean. I think those are separate conversations, because he doesn't care as long as his baseball team is good. But he also thinks that it's never going to be. I mean, we have very candid conversations. He also believes, he's like, look, he said, it's not just, and this is true, and I agree with him on this one. It's not just black kids. This is young kids today. They see baseball as being more boring. It's a short attention span. Like every year that passes, it's become shorter and shorter attention span. Baseball is a long form sport. You know that. We watch playoff baseball. That goes damn near 4 hours, these games.
Yeah. Can I say something?
My kids don't watch baseball. They watch Rockets when the World Series was on.
I understand, but can I say one other thing,
Gary,
and then I'm done? Thank you so much. I want to dispel the myth about the expense, the travel, and the boring. In Little League and in select ball, my daughter plays too. Mm-hmm. We travel Tennessee, Oklahoma. We just come back from Patty Gasso, which she was invited up there, 12 years old. We're there, and it's not boring. It's not expensive. We have $500,000 homes. We own companies and businesses too. I want to dispel that myth. The goal is my friend, good friend of mine, sitting in there saying, hey, they spend all this time in Little League and travel and camp and hitting and lessons. We're taking lessons, paying people $100 an hour. But the thing is, they would never crack that nut. You know, baseball was one of the last to integrate or whatever. To crack that nut in that starting lineup or two, if I see Peter or Bobby and I see Jonathan, well, I'm going to trust what I know. And so what I was just saying is that those are all myths. It's not more expensive.
Wait. You're
boring.
Telling me that
it's not boring.
My kids were not those type of kids. But how are you telling me that you're traveling every weekend, staying in hotels, the people who have to get hitting coaches, that is more expensive?
I agree it's more expensive, but we're saying that the reason we don't play or not in there is because it's more expensive to do that than bounce a basketball. And when you go to Bull Porter's facility or when you go to other places like that and you see we're paying for that dream, we're paying for that opportunity, and it doesn't come through because it's not that – it is more expensive to buy a bat than a basketball or a glove and a pair of Nike.
Well, and to travel every weekend, travel ball is expensive.
And then travel, but that's –
but, Gary, you know
they're doing that. Yeah, they're doing that with the expectation.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. What you're saying is there's plenty of black families that can afford to do that. And I don't – obviously, you live in a hole if you think everyone lives here and everyone else lives there and there's no one else. You need to get out. I'm not saying you. Everyone else needs to get out and understand people are not – you don't put them in a box. There's everybody is way different than you think. What I am telling you, though, is I have friends of mine who are – I would not have wanted to pay the expenses it would cost. I got a bunch of kids to try to help get through college. It would have been too – I did not – I never wanted – that is expensive. There is an expense that is associated with travel soccer, with travel baseball, regardless of your race, Gary. It's expensive for people. Yeah. A lot of people don't make it's hard out there for a lot of people. So your points are –
That was just – I just wanted to –
No, we appreciate it.
Why we're not – Not more of us are not playing. It's not because we can't afford it.
So you don't think the boring – you don't think the boring thing – and once again, you got to understand, my kids don't – well, one of my kids, they like – baseball is at the bottom of their list. And my son Mason would watch – he watched Rockets over World Series. So I do think from an age standpoint, a lot of them just like, this baseball lasts forever. It takes forever. I think you'd be surprised. I don't even know if it's racial so much as younger kids just – now, kids in Houston growing up with a winning team, it's going to help. It's going to help. But if you live in a city where your team isn't good
– No.
Yeah. If it was boring, we wouldn't have SWAC. And they want more than SWAC. But if it was boring, you wouldn't have those colleges, division, all those colleges in the SWAC. That's a lot of ball players. And then there's a lot of ball players that don't even make those teams. But that's what I was just saying. So it's not boring because you have a whole conference set aside for that. And that's why it's not boring. They want the Dukes, the North Carolinas, the LSUs as well.
Yeah, I don't know. I think your kids find baseball boring. But, okay, we'll cut it
in
down.
In a general sense.
The kids today don't love baseball like we did. They just don't follow it. They just don't love it.
It is
like
a phone fest when you go to a game.
Yeah. Well, it's but see, that is baseball. I love going to spring training. The game doesn't mean anything. You're watching guys out there pitching and hitting and catching, and you're eating peanuts and drinking a beer, and you're talking and you're socializing. It's the most social game you can be at. A hockey game is just all, you know.
You can't be social at that because it's action.
No, it's there's all the action. Sport. NFL is
soccer.
Emotional.
Soccer's super action.
Soccer. Well, no. But you know,
there's
soccer.
Action moments, but you can talk.
No, there's plenty of time to talk in soccer. Absolutely there is. But the downtime in baseball makes it a more social. And kids know that kids are on their phone instead of talking to each other. Okay, they're on Tinder or whatever they're on. Trying to kind of get some. I mean, well, now kids really aren't doing that either, aren't they?
No, they don't do Tinder.
Study has shown that
you just text each other.
Kids are having a lot less.
That's true.
They're driving later.
They're drinking later. They're having relations later. Like the Gen Z is like, or iGen is what a lot of them call because they were born when the iPhone started.
Kids suck today.
They're called iGen. They were only. For their whole lives, they've only known, like, the iPhone has been around their entire lives. So they're doing a lot less stuff now. We did things.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just started thinking, is Madi in the car?
Okay.
Because I can't tell this story. Because to this day, I told a story about kissing the girl across. Maybe I only said something about. Yeah, I said a story about kissing a girl in third grade, when I was in third grade, Ann Vosick, who lived across the street. I said it on the radio, and my daughter was listening. She won't let me forget that ever. Oh, and by the way, she just read Animal Farm for homeschool. Oh, is she pissed. Wow. Is she running around pissed off at those pigs? She is not a fan of communism, I can tell you that.
No, well.
Not a fan of
America.
Stalin.
She's America. 844 ESPN, and rightfully so. That girl, Madi. Eso es.
Do you know what they did to the horses?
Continuas así, Madi.
I read it.
John Daspit, he's a guy who's American.
Yeah, and he's for you. He wants you to be taken care of. If somebody has wronged you, if they've hurt you, you know what happens was insurance companies. A lot of times when you know companies, you get hurt on the job at a workplace accident or in a car accident or wherever you are, you get hurt. The insurance company is going to be the one who ends up paying for that. And the insurance company, they've got lawyers, and their entire job is to give you the least amount of a settlement they possibly can. I mean, the least amount. And if you don't have someone working for you, they will screw you over. I got screwed over years and years ago, and I didn't even know it at the time. I didn't even know that there were people like John Daspit out there. And yes, John Daspit's out there fighting for you. Went to Clear Falls High School. He's here in the community, gets to all the games. He's doing NIL work with University of Houston football and basketball teams. Went to college here, got his law degree here. And the great thing about John Daspit is he's got 70 lawyers in 10 different cities. So whether it's you or someone you know, he is going to fight hard to get you the very best settlement he can. And he does not settle in a settlement. He's looking for what is right and what is fair. And he will even go to court if he needs to get that done. He turned down $5 million, got $7 million just in a settlement, but in a case just 2 weeks ago. That's how he rolls. And he is a tough negotiator, and he's going to work hard for you. 713-322-HURT is his phone number, 713-322-HURT, or go to Daspit Law, DASPITlaw.com.
This is Nolan Ryan, and you're listening to The Bench with John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. A couple knuckleheads, if you ask me.
On The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
We will have a 12-team playoff in 2024.
I thought that was a done deal. I know it was made official.
Just yesterday made official. And well, because the Rose Bowl had an ultimatum.
Is,
the Rose Bowl had an ultimatum.
Hold on. 2024 is in next year?
Because no, the starts, season, I think.
Or the season of 2024. It's
the season of 2024. If, in fact, it was we had a playoff right now, here would be the top four would all get byes, right? Here would be the playoff games. You tell me. Washington at Ohio State.
Washington's there?
Yeah, Washington's up there. Washington's playing.
Okay.
Utah at Alabama.
Pretty good.
Pretty good game. Kansas State at Tennessee.
Okay.
Clemson at Penn State. Not bad.
That's kind of gross.
Why is that gross?
This is gross.
What's wrong with this?
Sean Clifford versus Ugalule. That guy sucked. That guy, nobody has been expected to be better who's been worse. Do you know he didn't get to 100 passing yards against South Carolina?
No,
I don't think he even made it to 100.
Well,
he has been terrible.
He's been awful. He's been just awful.
That one doesn't interest me. All right, we're going to a 10-team playoffs. Unfortunately, Clemson would still be in there.
PFN. I can't wait, because you're going to have good games like that. Now, maybe nobody can beat Georgia. Nobody can beat Georgia now. But you know what?
No, you will have some interesting matchups.
And there's going to be good games that'll mean stuff.
Hey,
I think it's going to be great.
You know, Tennessee could end up being like the old Michigan team that changed head coaches in 89. Steve Fisher team. Yeah. I mean, it's Hendon Hooker, Steve Fisher. It's a coach. But remember, they had all this talent. They went on a run and won a national title.
Yeah. Steve Fisher went to Arizona State. And and then who took over? I forget.
Michigan?
Yeah, for Michigan. Who took
Harbaugh.
Over? No. Let me ask you this. Here is PFN, ProFootballNetwork.com, their mock draft. They've got Bryce Young going to the Texans. Bryce Young.
Yeah.
Number 10, Jordan Addison at 10.
Ooh, me likey.
Number 32, Michael Mayer.
I haven't studied him yet. I got other tight ends I like, though.
Number 39, Bijan Robinson.
No, Bijan's way gone before then.
You think so?
Bijan is a three-down back who is excellent as a pass catcher and runner. Yes.
Number 57, Jordan Battle, safety Alabama.
If Travis Etienne went in the first, Bijan's going in the first.
Yeah.
And Jordan Battle, yeah, I haven't looked at him yet, but that's so far it sounds about right. It's a really deep tight end draft. Thoughts and prayers to Brevin Jordan.
Yeah, that
and they've got Quateriano. I don't think they'll draft tight end.
No, that early. But hey, listen, Jordan Akins can play. I think we're finding that out.
Well, they're using him differently. Yeah. Well, I think some of those guys could have played honestly when Deshaun was here. He just didn't look at tight ends.
Well, no, but I mean, Jordan Akins continues to make plays all the time. Whenever he's on the field,
who's about to go off is going to be, and he does go off from time to time, is going to be Amari Cooper. Because when Deshaun loves you, it's an unending love, like he had with DeAndre Hopkins. He will only look at you.
Yeah, and he's their only receiver.
He's their top. Donovan Peoples-Jones is okay.
He's all right,
but no. And they've got good tight end. Like Joku has been pretty good this year. Harrison, the other tight end, Harrison Bryant is pretty good. I mean, they've got some weapons. Cleveland actually has some weapons. This is not going to be – I don't think your Cleveland Browns draft picks are going to be great after this year.
No.
I think they're going to be in the 20s.
No. What?
After this year.
Oh, after this year. Right. No, this year, yeah.
No, this year you're going to be good.
Yeah. No, guess what? There's a reason they gave Deshaun $230 million.
You may not be in the teens. You may still be in the 12s, 11s, 10s. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, God willing, Deshaun will play terrible
and lose a bunch of games. He wasn't great in the preseason.
No, he needs to lose a bunch of games, give us a good pick.
Yeah. And it's the least he could do for us after all we've done for him. It's the least
he could do for us after the $27 million that the owner gave him.
Yeah, right.
To do nothing.
Let's get Biscuit in here. He wants to talk about baseball. Hey, Biscuit.
Hey, top of the morning, my brothers.
Back hey, what's up, Biscuit?
Hey, man, and Lance, before I get to my baseball take, I sure hope you're right, man, because I stashed Amari Cooper on my fantasy team, and I'm looking to make a run right here in the playoffs.
I would take a good look at starting him. I don't know the rest of your team.
Hey, Amari's giving you some
points. He's actually had some weeks where he's been huge.
Two of the last 3 weeks, he's been really big.
Biscuit didn't start him.
Yeah. I didn't either.
But let me say this about the baseball and in the African American community, man, and Lance, you know, this has happened over time. It's not something that happened overnight. This is over time, and all the factors you guys talked about before are part of it. It's not just one factor; it's a bunch of, and money definitely is a factor because baseball is a sport of repetition, and if you want to be good at it. Then you got to go to the batting cages. You got to shag balls. You got to do all these. You got to play it almost year round. When my son was coming up, the problem we had was, you know, we played all the sports. So when he went to football, the other kids kept playing baseball. So when we came back around to baseball, he kind of fell back a little bit. And so the factor I think that also plays in, if kids are not good at something, then they tend to lose interest in it. You know what I mean? So when he started falling behind some of the other players because he played football and basketball, he started losing interest in it. And then I think the final factor I think you guys can talk about is when we came up last, you know, it'd be a group of kids in the neighborhood and we'd get together and go play baseball.
Yep.
Well, now, and I don't stay in the hood, you know what I mean? But he couldn't find none of his peers to play. So, everybody he's playing, all his friends are playing basketball and football. He's the only one playing baseball. And so, you know, it's just a hard. And then finally, I think the MLB, man, they just don't market it. You know what I mean? My son came up when they had Bonds and Griffey. They don't even have that now. So how do you get the kids to have interest in it
but who
when they don't
your,
see nobody?
You know, it's funny, and you just named two guys whose parents, whose dads played in the league as well. So you actually had some name value when they came into the league with our parents and then with us being younger watching. Maybe we saw their dads play a little bit, but we definitely saw these guys play. I think, you know, if this is the thing, Biscuit, that's an uncomfortable conversation, I think, for a lot of people, but I think we've known each other for a long time. I think one of the things that's tough is that when I grew up, my favorite players happened to be black players. That's just, you know, what it was. Well, Dominican players, Cesar Cedeno in basketball. But I had guys like Lewis Lloyd, Dream, Benny Anders. Like, I had a Clyde. It was John Jefferson was my wide receiver. Earl Campbell. It was – I didn't have to have someone who, quote-unquote, looked like me. I hated Larry Bird. I think that when you have to have a player who looks like you from a racial composition standpoint – then yeah, MLB is it's going to hurt you if you. If you live in Houston, you love the more likely you just love the Astros and you don't care who the Astro is. But if you always have to have somebody that you feel like is on from your team or your side or your tribe or your race or whatever it is, then it's more limiting. It's going to be more limiting. And I think that, you know, I don't care what a quarterback looks like personally. I know that that's different for me. If he's my guy or if I think he's good, I'm going to put the cape on for the guy. That's the way it is. But I'm also pretty honest about when players aren't playing well. That's how I do it. But I do think that I do think from a representation standpoint, Major League Baseball can only do so much. They've had the RBI. We appreciate the call, Biscuit. John, you know we've been involved. The Astros have been involved with the RBI Foundation trying to get baseball into the inner cities and urban areas. Major League Baseball has tried to market it much, much more so. At some point, you are who you are. You show all the different flair of the sport. I think right now that comes primarily from a lot of the Latin American players, for example. I think that's going to be enticing for younger people because you do have guys. Look at Lindor. I think a lot of the Latin American players are taking over from the marketing of the sport for maybe a minority audience as opposed to black players, for example. It's just different. We've had Latin American players, obviously, in Major League Baseball forever. For a long, long time, you've had Latin American players. My dad loved Roberto Clemente, right? So you've had Latin American players for a long time, but it's way different now. The Latin American market is look at who we cheer for in Houston. Yeah. My favorite players are Latin American players, and a lot of people's are. And that's just, I think, from a baseball standpoint, you really can't talk about black and white baseball anymore. It's the Latin American market is huge, and I think, actually, the way the game is played with the excitement and the bat flips and the camaraderie and the energy, it's good for the sport. It's really good for the sport as it relates to not the Jeff Bagwell group of baseball players, but the up-and-coming younger people who love that stuff, and they don't see it as disrespectful that somebody bat flips. They see it as fun.
Yep.
It's good for baseball.
It's great for baseball. I love this way more. I thought they were way too tight. They're
very rigid.
Yeah, I mean.
They were a very rigid group.
No, and no, it's got to be more fun. I love the bat flip and guys enjoying and celebrating, and let's have fun doing it. Let's go. 9 o'clock ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776. To get in with us here. Right now I'm talking about fun, getting more money for your car. That's a lot of fun. And John Clay Wolf is going to do that for you. John Clay Wolf is a lot of fun. He's a fun guy, actually. You see, I don't know if you're following him on Twitter. I don't know if you had listened to his radio show. I know him a little bit, a personal relationship with him. He's really cool. He is a fun guy. Love talking to John Clay Wolf. He's got a great outlook. He's just going to have fun no matter what he's doing. And what he's doing is being the biggest car buyer in the country right now. They did over a B buying and selling cars last year. Over a B. That's a lot for a company. He is in every city now. He is in every state. He's got radio shows all over the country. His radio show goes out just about everywhere. And he will actually buy your car over the phone on the radio station. That's how good he is. He does it every day. He'll do it for you. Sell him your car. Get the most for your vehicle. There's one place to go. GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.